You are now entering the world of Musings of a Geek Podcast Network. Stay geeky, my friends.
Hello, and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I am here with Joe, who you can find on Twitter at Grampire. I am here with Brian, who you can find
at Dunkin' Donuts.
At Dunkin' Donuts. And on Twitter, both at Pure Rock Fury. And I'm here with Chris, who you can find on the Twitter at SkateXEdge. And I believe he still has a MySpace that's pretty active, so don't forget to go check that out. As always, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. The links are on our website at comicroast.com. Our sister website, whatever, the review site is up. It is running. Reviewandroast.com, where you can write your own user reviews of movies, video games, comics, books, you name it. We're going to have it up there eventually.
Corn.
Oh, yeah, we're going to put corn up there.
Corn.
Yeah, I know, I was trying to be funny. Didn't catch on, I guess. Our number one for the week was Airboy on Image by Brian Buccolato. Didn't we do one from him last week?
I didn't change the name. Devil. It's James Robinson that did Airboy.
Well, yeah. Brian didn't change the name on the script. Okay, so James Robinson, Airboy, Image Comics. And
I think Greg Hinkle. Then.
Okay.
I think Greg Hinkle is the artist.
Yes.
Greg Hinkle it is.
You're correct.
And then our over-under for this week is movie or TV-related comic books.
Didn't we do something like this already?
We probably did. We did shows that are based on comics. Now we're doing comics that are based on shows or movies.
Swish.
See, it's called a switcheroo. No? Nothing?
Wait, you lost me. What did you say?
In the past, we have done movies or TV shows that are based off comic books. This week,
okay,
we're doing movies or
comic books based off of shows.
Yes, correct.
Or movies. Yes.
Or movies.
Okay.
Yes. You have some time to think, so keep...
I can't, I'm drawing a blank.
Well, you got time. We're not doing that just yet.
I never...
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
So, I want to say this week, as far as like my weekly reads or whatever, I really didn't get much of anything read this week.
You didn't even read Alex and Ada?
Well, I've had it for an hour.
You know what's funny? We called that like 2 hours ago. It's the second he grabbed the issue, goes, watch, Chris is going to start questioning me about Alex and Ada.
That's the first thing I read on Wednesday.
Right, but you go to the store on Wednesdays. I don't. I go to the store on Saturdays.
He just got his copy today, so.
Right.
Literally, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like
I
couple hours
that.
Ago.
I caught it. I get it.
You're picking up what we're throwing down.
Yeah, I think I got it.
Yeah, other than that.
I think I got the fact that he goes to the comic book store every Saturday, like he has been for the last, I don't know, 8-9 months.
That pretty much nails it. I mean.
But I'm still going to bring it up.
Yeah, actually, I was going to try to read it before the show, but we literally like walked in the door not too long ago. So
I should just ruin it for you.
Rant, rant. All right.
Yeah, he did go to the comic shop today.
Like he did last Saturday and the Saturday before that. And
right.
The Saturday
yeah.
before
I feel
that.
I feel like we're dwelling on this, so let's get past it. It's done. Other than that, yeah, like I said, I really don't think I read all that much this week that I can think of. So I've been spending as much of my free time this week. I've been trying to get through season 3 of Orange Is the New Black as quick as possible. I'm got about 4 episodes left, so I'm swishing through that pretty good. But yeah, so far as reading goes, I didn't really peruse much this week. What about you guys?
I didn't read too much outside of a few issues of Punisher. Welcome back, Frank. I'm about 7 in now. So.
Welcome back, Cotter.
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
I'd read
but
that.
Other than that, just video games.
When I think of Welcome Back, Cotter, then I think of Rorschach. And when I think of Rorschach, I think of the band.
You think Horseshack, you mean?
Oh, I was going to say, I think of Watchmen.
Rorschach. But... Oh, yeah, you're right. Horseshack. You're right. Rorschach test. Duh.
Zing.
Watchmen, whatever.
You ever take the Horshack test?
Hey, Mr. Cut.
Or the band Horshack. Or the band Horse Shit.
I lost my train of thought here for a second. Got it back.
Thought train.
I finished Lobster Johnson, The Satan Factory. I don't really know if I could say that it's worth buying. It's 200 pages, and
of
it feels
what?
Like a 200-page fight scene. I really like the character Lobster Johnson. I just don't think he works in a novel form. I think Lobster Johnson's better suited for, like, a movie serial or a comic book. As a novel, it's kind of repetitive. And he's hardly in it, which is weird because he is the main character. So, didn't really love it. Not terrible. Didn't really love it. And then I finished Once Upon a Time Machine. It's a collection of, like, fairy tales retold in, like, a science fiction way. It's hit or miss. Art is really good. I can tell that the people that created it really enjoyed making it. I just don't think I was the intended audience. I don't know why I thought I would be, but now having read it, I think out of like the 25 stories, I maybe liked four of them. But I could see other people really liking it.
Like Joe?
Not like Joe. Mm-mm.
Like me?
Not like me.
You might.
Nailed it.
And they're not all fairy tales that are native to America. Some of them are old Japanese folklore. So if you don't know the original Japanese folklore, you're not going to be familiar with the story other than this version of it. But most of them are like one of them is a retelling of Humpty Dumpty where he's a robot and not a giant egg.
See, now that sounds awesome to me.
It's okay. That is actually one of the more standout stories, but...
See, I could actually picture Scott liking that more so than you.
I really thought I was going to like it. It's a really nice looking book, and it's not poorly written at all. Like I said, it was crafted by people who really liked those stories and wanted to retell them in their own unique way. I just now having read it, I'm like, I don't know what made me think I was going to like this. It just seems like a neat idea, so I gave it a chance, and it's not bad. I mean, for what it is, it's actually really good. I just don't think 400 pages of it was ever going to get my attention other than my going, holy crap, this thing is super long. So that's pretty much all. I mean, just other than that, just catching up on just a single here and another one there and a number four of this.
What about what about you, PlayStation 4 over there?
Big plans for next week, maybe.
How'd you know I was playing PlayStation?
Because I can hear you playing.
Yeah, you're not real subtle with your eating and your video gaming while we're trying to record.
I read Alex Native 15. Tell everybody what it's about now. And I read Bloodshot 3. In the Empty Zone.
The Empty Zone?
Yeah.
You mean The Empty or The Empty Zone?
The Empty Zone.
So it's a different...
It came out on Image.
Word. Never
I
heard
take
of it.
It you didn't pick it up.
No, I didn't get anything outside of what was in my box today. I don't really have all the kind of money to spare because I'm going to need some money.
Here we go again.
I got to get ready for Wizard World. Unlike you, I'm going to be there for the 4 days, so I need to get a hotel. I need to fucking get all my shit together.
What? A hotel?
Yeah.
Dude, you're like how far away from it?
45 minutes.
Oh, my God.
It's no sense in driving all the way back when I got to be there early in the morning to cart stuff in, stay late to clean up the booth, bring stuff out. There's no sense in coming home.
So that's about what I read. I got a whole stack of stuff I got to read, though. I got to read Punk Rock Jesus, Nowhere Men, Archie vs. Predator 3, Astronauts in Trouble.
So they're not really notable if you haven't read them yet, right?
Manifest Destiny 15 and Run, Love, Kill number 3. These are the ones I got to read.
Nailed it. Well, next week, if you've read them and they're good, then you can talk about them. Moving on to our number one. This was my pick, and like I said earlier, this is on Image. It was Airboy number 1. basically, you know, the guy, it opens up, the guy gets the phone call, is from like, hey, you know, we want you to reboot this character we have, whatever superhero that people probably don't remember. We kind of want you to do the reboot. And he's like, dude, I'm basically collecting a check at DC. You know, no one really cares. Everyone calls me a hack, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story short, he gets talked into it. He, massive writer's block. He decides to get an artist on board, you know, figuring maybe that'll help him with his writer's block and get some ideas. And they basically spent the night out partying and doing coke and ecstasy and boozing and whores. And if you remember a few weeks ago, these guys were ranting and raving about how awesome minimum wage was. I feel like this is what minimum wage should have been, because this was way fucking better. This thing was amazing.
You're just saying that because you picked it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was my pick, but by far it's like my best pick in months. Like, this thing, it's far, you guys.
I'm giving it a 4 just because.
Whatever, dude. Basically, like I said, the whole story just follows these two guys around as they try to spitball ideas while getting drunk, while snorting coke and or ecstasy and or, yeah, and just, you know, getting hookers and, you know, I mean, the artwork itself.
Everyone but his wife.
Yeah, the artwork is awesome. The story itself, like, I didn't have a clue on what it was about when I picked it up. I just grabbed it because, you know, I judged it by its cover, and I think I nailed it. I totally love this thing.
I like the fact that it's called Airboy, and you think it's about a superhero called Airboy when it's really, in fact, just about that fucking dude.
Right. Trying to come up with an idea because he's, an old washed-up comic book writer,
it's,
you know.
Totally deceptive.
Yeah.
Big time.
I give it an 8.5.
We didn't do – we're not even at that part yet.
Okay, well, yeah. I'll say it again.
Brian and Joe still have to talk.
Sorry.
Well, first of all, I would like to interject – and state that Airboy is actually an old Golden Age superhero.
Yes, no, I know it's not fake.
I didn't know that when I read that, and I finished. I'm like, what? I get the feeling this character exists. So I went back, and yeah, sure enough, Airboy was a real superhero. Actually, kind of more of like a swashbuckling space pirate, I guess, of some kind. So they actually did reboot Airboy like sometime in the 80s or 90s to try and generate interest. Maybe somebody wanted to make a movie. And
dude, like, honestly, it probably would work better if his name wasn't Airboy. Like, that is a terrible name. Just saying that.
It's pretty much the worst name for a heroic fiction character in the history of worst
fiction.
It's like,
what's your power? Farting?
Well, his costume is so weird looking. He looks like a cross between Doctor Who and Michael Jackson. It's this very stupid-looking costume. Mm. But here's the thing. When you said it was what minimum wage should have been, I read that feeling like this is pretty much very similar to the minimum wage that I know collectively. So, yeah, I agree. This thing was just pure excellence.
I mean, collectively, maybe, but as far as, like, the one issue of minimum wage I read, like, it was more or less like, everyone's like, no, dude, you're pretty good. No, let's do it. Man, I suck. Man, I can't get a girlfriend. Man, I'm just going to complain about me. Man. You know, I was like, dude, give it a rest. But anywho, we're getting off topic. Whereas this is like, man, I'm the fucking worst. Let's go get some hookers and snort some coke. Don't be a pussy. Blech. You know what I'm saying? Like, this thing, I was so impressed with this.
It made me think of Hunter S. Thompson doing a comic book.
Ooh, nice.
Ooh, yeah.
That's, and they even reference him in the book itself.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And that's kind of the vibe that I got, you know. That being said, I did enjoy it. I thought it was an interesting thing for them to do in a comic. I mean, it's not a, you know, obviously Hunter S. Thompson, you know, it's not like this totally groundbreaking new concept that they've come up with, but it's something that you don't see every day in comics, but you would see it, you know, say in a novel or in a movie or something of that nature before you would think of ever seeing it in a comic. And I think in that medium, it's kind of an interesting take on it. So, you know, like I said, that being said, I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, what other books have this, like, style of art. But, I mean, it's very,
Minimum wage.
Very gray. Yeah. Very, yeah, but minimum wage is also drawn like cartoony. Like this is.
This wasn't.
Have you, Brian, have you read Minimum Wage 2 yet?
No.
All right.
I don't think. I think it was more like on the real side. Like, I mean, like, very. And not that it's bad, of course, but very depressing looking. You know, it very much. The artwork reflects totally off of what, you know, the characters are going through, feeling, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, in.
It has a definite American Splendor, hate, or, again, minimum wage feel to it, albeit it references more actual events.
So unless the character does drug and bang hookers, then Scott's pretty much like, oh, it's going to suck then.
Well, I mean, kind of.
The references he makes are real. Like, he actually did, up until recently, write, he had an exclusive deal with DC, and he abruptly quit. All that stuff is actually, that all happened. He's from London. He moved to San Francisco. He is married. And I believe his real wife is used in the story. Now, I'm going to guess that the banging a hooker part is probably fake.
Because I'm going to guess that it's real.
The last place you want to admit to cheating on your wife is in a comic book that's going to be read by thousands of people.
Right.
Well, the wife that they showed, it said then second wife. So at that point, that was his second wife. So I'm sure that she knows everything that's going on in this comic. You know what I'm saying? The fact that he was
I read on Wikipedia afterwards to see how much of the actual events like were mentioned in the book. And I believe it said he's married to the same woman he originally married the first time. So I think there's some of that stuff was fictional, but the part about him working for DC and all that, and he actually, I think, did write an Airboy series for DC at one point, or Starman.
Well, to me, it seems like the books and stories I enjoy the most, almost like they're written about actual people and real events and real, you know what I'm saying? Like American Splendor follows the life of Harvey Pekar as written by Harvey Pekar. One of my favorite stories, the comics, of all time. This, very similar. The guy's writing what he knows he writes, and I feel like you do a better job that way for a lot of stuff. But I fucking love this book. I should have.
But you don't like Minimum Wage.
As far as the only one that I read, no, I really didn't.
Well, I feel sorry for you.
Hey, who knows? Maybe I'll grab an old trade sometime, and it'll be different. But the one that I read, it didn't do anything for me. But as far as this one, it did at least a 9.5 for me.
I'll give you a 9.5.
We're scoring this already?
We don't have to, but I just figured everybody's talked and said stuff.
Well, that's the thing. You kind of like blew through what the book covers, and it's not like...
By all means, keep going then.
Well, no, I'm just saying there's really not a whole lot other than what you already mentioned. He's commissioned by the guy from Image to redo an Airboy reboot, and... He's got massive writer's block, and he feels like it's giant hack, and he's just going through the motions. So he thinks, maybe if I hire an artist and we collaborate, the words will come to me. And instead, they spend the entire time getting drunk, doing drugs, and double-teaming some prostitute until the very end when the big reveal happens, which I'm not going to give away.
Alleged prostitute.
But that's pretty much it. There's really not any side story intrigue that we need to, like, touch on, or there's no... bigger, whatever. It's all pretty much like you said. It's a grounded story about a guy with writer's block who kind of goes on a bender.
Yeah. I mean, in my mind, I had a lot more to say, but I also read it, like Tuesday night, and it's now Saturday night. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I should have read it again, but I don't just remember after I read it, I was like, this thing was amazing.
I just think that the cover is really deceptive because the cover is kind of this light aqua and like black outline of two guys sitting on a couch, and above them is a crooked painting of this really heroic character standing in this pose like da 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 da. But the character picture is in full color, so when you walk past it in the store and you see real big Airboy, you don't see the guys sitting on the couch
Oh, not at all.
In their underwear, like stoned out of their mind. you see this, and you're like, this is the stupidest looking thing I've ever seen. Who's going to buy this?
No.
So I've walked past that thing several times going, there's no amount of money on this planet that I would pay for that. That looks like some crappy knockoff superhero character that was put out of business 65 years ago. Why did you bring him back? And then when you picked it, I was like, are you serious? And then I looked at it. I'm like, oh, okay, this is definitely different than what I was thinking.
I remember when I brought it up to the counter, too, the guy was like, I've heard nothing but good stuff about this. So that made me even more pumped. But, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, I was definitely, by the cover, not expecting to see the amount of swinging dick that I saw. that's for sure. So
very nonchalant, too.
When Joe
too,
says that, he means that's an A+.
Yeah, right.
Because the more dick he sees...
Well, there's some serious...
The more graphic and fucked up it is, yeah, that's definitely a plus in my book either way.
I agree.
Like, you flip the page and you're like, whoa, okay, that definitely woke me up.
That makes Dr. Manhattan look like nothing.
Right?
That writer did.
All right, so over the last 10 minutes, we got Chris's score, and then a bunch of talking, then my score, then a bunch of talking. So why don't you two do some math?
I definitely think that I probably judge things a bit harsher than others. And like I said, you know, like what some people might think are not good scores, to me, are really good scores. I'm going a solid 7.5 on this.
0.2 is actually really good.
Huh?
I said, so when Joe gives it like a 3.2, it's actually good.
No, when I give it a 3.2, that's pretty awful.
The only thing keeping it from going higher for me was a little short, which I was kind of surprised by. I'm going to say 8.5. Like, I still really liked it a lot. I think that the curveball that it throws you right from the word go was, like I said, pure excellence. It could have been a couple of pages longer for my liking. Other than that, it was pretty much flawless. But as an issue one, I'll say 8.5, but I could see it when it's done and collected being a 9 or higher easy.
Oh, yeah, I could definitely see the overall series ending up scoring higher than I scored issue 1.
Yeah, I mean, if you would have asked me Tuesday right after I read it, I'm like, dude, this thing's a 12! You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you get time to step back for a minute.
Yeah, I definitely think you can see the potential. That it definitely has potential to go some pretty weird places, which I'm definitely into that kind of thing. So,
well, I'm totally into coke and
yeah,
stuff like that. I mean, I don't like doing it. I just like the way it smells. I mean,
yeah,
nothing.
You've done that joke a few times,
but
in the past.
Not on the air. That's
but it's,
the key.
I've heard it though. It's not as yeah.
All right. So, in the past, we've talked about. They've had International Tabletop Day, which is the day where, you know, you get around and, you know, play board games, and a lot of comic book stores will demo a lot of games and have, you know, make an event out of it. You know, same thing with, like, Free Comic Book Day. Well, apparently there is also a Free RPG Day. That was today, which is Saturday. I know it's Monday for everyone listening, but 2 days ago. So when we were at the store, I was kind of hoping to see more stuff about it today. But, I mean, they had a very small table with maybe a couple of pamphlets on it. You know, there was no, like, real free, total, like, RPG anything. And then there was two tables in the back with people kind of playing RPGs. But I was kind of hoping for more of, like, a demo where people, like, are more than, like, sitting down and teaching you how to play and all that good stuff.
So that little table on the side of the counter was actually, like, the... Yeah. What would have been the equivalent of the Free Comic Book Day table? Like, that was their RPG table?
Yeah, the Free Comic Book Day table literally is, like, you know those 3x8 folding tables. There's like seven of those.
Yeah.
Sprawled out with comics. This had a little like 2-foot by 4-foot table with about 5 or 6 little books on them.
It was like a cubby hole.
Yeah, it was like.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I didn't know what that stuff was. I just thought it was.
It dawned on me when I realized what day
Joe
it was.
I thought it was Christian propaganda.
I thought it was like just some kind of like loose end sale table or something.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
you're looking at it like, oh, it's all the bullshit people didn't buy.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought it was. Like, hey, buy this stuff, please. It's cheap.
Personally, I love the idea of an RPG, like a pen and paper RPG. But the simple fact of the matter is, like, A, your rule books are already 200 and 300 pages. Like, if I'm going to read that...
So basically, it's a fucking Lord of the Rings novel.
Right, yeah. Right. Now, if I'm going to read that to play your game, that's fine, but it better make sense. And I've tried multiple times on 2 different games, and these rule books aren't that clear. They leave a lot of questions unanswered.
Yeah.
So it's like, in this day and age, why don't these companies have like an instructional video on YouTube? Like, it literally would take, you know, a day for them to sit there, make this video, edit it together, and upload it to the internet so people like us who have no one to show us how to play can learn how to play.
Well, I'll say this. This event was the most poorly advertised event I've seen in quite a while.
I agree.
Apparently, this is like the 7th or 8th time they've done this, and I didn't even hear about it until 3 days ago. And you could tell... Because, like you said, we went in there and there was like an old school desk with like 6 like demo games.
Yeah.
I will say this. I did not know until 3 days ago that there is a Valiant Universe pen and paper role-playing game coming out, which rules. And that makes me want to learn how to play that in addition to the other ones. And I was kind of disappointed that when we were there today, there was really no one there demoing games. They were just people who already knew how to play, playing as a group.
Yeah.
So that doesn't help.
I hate those kind of games.
I can't say. We've never really properly played one.
Right. Look, it's D&D, basically. So, yeah, it is just pen and paper, and you fucking just, hold on, there's a blah, blah, blah. There's a three-headed owl coming towards you. What are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to whip out my...
No, see, first you got to roll for initiative.
My flaming Zord of Zenith.
First you got to roll for initiative, then you get to see who goes first.
Oh, I killed it. No, you didn't, because your flaming sword is only
this was
5% damage.
You have to remember, though, this was the original alternative when they didn't have things like Dragon Age or The Witcher to play in video game form. And there's still people that enjoy playing this form of it.
Anybody I've ever talked to that has gotten deep into these games all say that if you get the right group, it's a blast.
I'd imagine so.
Well, that's the thing. Like, with the new starter set for the Star Wars Age of Rebellion, it's $20 and supposedly super easy to learn. Well, when you were at Barnes & Noble today and they actually had not the starter set but the core rulebook, that thing was like 400 to 500 pages. Like, dude, I am not going to read that much just to find out that I still don't understand how to play.
Yeah. You read 500 pages, and at the end of it, you're confused.
Probably 5 pages because it's probably so fucking boring.
Well, it's a gigantic book, and the print's super small, so, I mean, it's...
See, this is exactly why companies need really good community managers. So those community managers can do things like film tutorial videos for their products.
Or hire people to pop in and out of comic book stores throughout the year to have demos.
Well, that's the thing.
That's
the
what
A&F
community managers would deal with.
Are going to be having pen and paper demo days coming up, which I wouldn't mind attending one because aside from the fact that I'd like to just know how to play them, I really am curious about the Valiant Universe one, because if I could play as Ninjak, that'd be pretty badass.
Right. No, I agree.
I personally, like, I'm not familiar with the Valiant Universe as you are, but, I mean, shit, if you were...
Scratching the surface. I know of Ninjak, Bloodshot, Harbinger, and Archer and Armstrong so far.
You want to ask me then,
yeah,
Joe.
But, see, the thing is, though, is that if you said, hey, we're going to start playing this Valiant RPG, I'd be like, okay.
I would say, this is how I would describe the Valiant Universe. it's similar to the Marvel and DC superhero universe, is that it's a collective universe of all these other worldly human, like meta-human characters.
You got Exo-Manowar, you got
They're not really superheroes proper. They're more along the lines of like Solid Snake or the, what's the main character from Uncharted?
Oh, Nathan Drake.
They're more like that. They're not really like Superman or Batman. They're more along the lines of like modern video game hero characters. Like I said, Solid Snake. Chris, would you agree with me?
Skilled at what they do.
Yeah, they're like
Lara Croft types.
Yeah, Ninjak's not really a superhero.
He's got more of a supernatural kind of like, I guess, vibe about him.
Well, that's set in like the year 4000, though. That's way in the future.
He's, well, maybe not supernatural, but more of a cybernetic, I guess.
They're more sci-fi than superhero. I mean, I know superhero is sci-fi as well.
I like them better, actually, to tell you the truth. And now they have Divinity. They've added him to the universe now, which is the black cosmonaut. I didn't even know Valiant had that either. And I look at their website pretty much like once a week.
Who, Valiant's?
Yeah.
I just know like what they've got coming out. But like I said, the whole idea of their pen and paper game, like, it's got me curious.
I'll pretty much play anything that involves RPG, whether it be pen and paper, video game.
Joe, if you haven't read Rye, Ninjak, or Bloodshot, go back to AF tomorrow and buy those.
I still got to get through the stack of stuff that I do have.
And Divinity.
Ahead of me.
I kind of agree. Ninjak pretty much is awesome. And Bloodshot is brutal. So
yeah.
My only gripe with Valiant is I wish they just take the chains off the language a little bit. They don't need to censor out. I mean, when you got Bloodshot splattering blood and guts everywhere, I mean, an F-bomb's not going to hurt anybody. I don't think there's 10-year-olds out there buying Valiant comics, really. Maybe I'm wrong.
Good thing you mentioned that, because I just read issue 3 today, and I was reading it, and I was like, come on, dude, you don't need to put that. And pound symbol and just say it. Say fuck.
Yeah, I mean, when you're holding a dude's head in your hand, I think that language
Christ,
pretty much.
Roach, Roach Limit is rated teen plus, and they say fucking shit. And but yeah, I agree. They should just let the swearing. They could take the reins off of that. Just show it. Besides, what 12-year-old kid doesn't say the F word anyways?
I know, right? So do you have like a release date for this game or any other info, or you just know they're making one?
I knew they were making one, and then I saw the sampler mission or whatever.
Did you grab it?
I didn't grab anything today because what's the what am I going to do with it? Just stare at it all day while I not play it?
With a three-person group, I don't think we can really play these things anyway. Really,
this thing's going to kick so much ass for people who know how to play.
Well, not to mention, like I said, I mean, I don't really think you can do much with a three-person group.
Probably not.
But anywho, it was a lackluster event, in my opinion. Maybe it was different at other stores, but at the one we went to, it was not really worth it.
And we have a pretty big store. That's you know what I'm saying? Like, there's plenty of room and stuff like that. Where I was surprised that I found out yesterday. Today, like when we walked in there, what the hell am I talking about?
Yeah.
I'm thinking like last week, I don't even remember them saying anything about it.
Yeah, I'm wondering if maybe, you know, not that many, that, you know, people who run it or are trying to get it off the ground are really just terrible at it. You know, like, you know, weeks in advance that Free Comic Book Day is coming up, you know, weeks in advance that National Tabletop Day is coming, because there are flyers. They tell you every time you come in the store. I haven't heard a thing about it, you know?
They must not give the people, like, the stores any kind of, like, promotional anything.
They should either piggyback on the board game day, or they should combine it with Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! And Magic the Gathering and draw more brand awareness.
What they should do is these companies should actually have representatives that go out to stores, like Scott was saying. Don't necessarily have, like, you know, this is specific RPG weekend. Just have like a, you know, hey, this is RPG weekend. We're going to do it at the store, and we're having a representative from such and such a company, and they're going to teach us all how to play blah, blah, blah.
Hey, Brian, I want to read you something real quick. I don't mean to interrupt you, Joe. For the last 2 months, we've been releasing the Valiant Universe RPG Quick Start Rules in conjunction with Free Comic Book Day and Free RPG Day.
Mm. Looks like we missed that one. Well, that's the thing. Another big company on this is Paizo. They do the Pathfinder stuff, and you know, I follow their Twitter, and you know, they tweet somewhat regularly, but I haven't seen anything on there about it either. I'm always seeing, and I get emails because I'm on their email list or whatever, so I get emails about Pathfinder all the time, but I haven't seen anything from them about Free RPG Day.
Yeah, and you figure Plaid Hat would have done something with Summoner Wars too,
right? Yeah,
you'd think every RPG game company would have done something.
They probably don't even know it exists.
Yeah, you
know, what's going on today?
Right,
there should be, you know, every company should be trying to do something.
I don't know.
Maybe, you know, like I said, maybe you don't have, you can't, you're not going to hire on enough people to cover every single store in America on the same weekend. But like I said, send out representatives that will make visits, like, make them available where stores can schedule a weekend where the company can send a representative out, and that weekend, you know, they advertise like hell, let everybody know, hey, you know, they're coming and they're going to teach us how to play this. And then what you do is you get them out there, you get them to teach you, and then you start up a group that actually shows up on a weekly basis at the store, plays a game, and then you start selling that stuff. You start selling more books because these people are there, and every time they update the rules, every time they put out a new bestiary, anytime there's any kind of update where there's a product to sell, people are going to purchase that stuff because they're in a weekly group and they're going to always need to be up to date. So it's going to be beneficial for all parties involved because of the fact that they're going to make money. People like us would actually learn the game, and we would be provided with a place and a group to do it with.
You have just listened to Marketing Joe on his expert level.
I'm hey, just Brian, saying, man. Brian,
this thing is already out, dude.
Here's the worst part.
There, you know what I'm saying? Am I not making any sense?
No, that's all fine.
I'm
and
just
good.
Saying you should be in front of a green screen right now, or not a green screen, a big video screen with like a pie chart or something.
With a fucking a wireless fucking like earpiece microphone.
Yeah.
With a fucking
Can I get an amen?
Right. And here's the worst part. I guarantee that there's a lot of people listening out there that going, these guys are fucking so stupid. How do they not understand this shit? So you know what? Come over and show me then, smart guy.
Oh well, smart guys. You know what though? There's
now
people
you're threatening our audience.
There's people like that.
I'm
everywhere
asking for their help.
You know what I'm saying? You find that in everything where there's a learning curve, that there's going to be people that are just going to look at you and go, how do you not know that?
Right.
You know, it's you find it in MMOs and fighting games.
MMO.
You know, MMO. Pen and paper RPG, all that stuff.
I'm just going to make up my own. That way I know it rules.
You know, that's like,
nope, that don't work. How do you know? I didn't win.
MMO.
But no, like if you play Magic with somebody and they're into all these tournament rules, this, that, and the other, and you're just like a, you know,
casual.
A casual house player, you know what I'm saying? They're like, how do you not know this? How do you not know that? Well, I don't play by these stringent.
You can always tell the casual house players because of their Zubaz pants.
Yeah.
Get it? House players?
Oh my
never
God,
mind.
Stop.
I'm on fucking fire today, and you guys all suck.
No, that right. Zubaz thing should have been held for Sandman the Wrestler reference.
So, I think we pretty much covered about as much of that as we can.
Yeah. It was kind of fail.
Well, I know Brian and I were fans and watchers of Fargo, the TV series, last year. Did either one of you guys watch this?
Yeah.
I did not.
Did you see the season 2 teaser?
No, I did not.
Okay.
But I did tell you that Bruce Campbell's going to be in it.
Yes,
as
he did.
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
I remember you guys
I'm
saying
I'm kind
that.
Of pumped. Yeah, basically, if you haven't seen the teaser yet, I mean, you can obviously, you know,
Brian
Google
still
it.
Needs to give me his Fargo Blu-ray set.
Or
Nick all hat.
This time, you could have gone to Target and got your
or
own
or Barnes & Noble, because their Blu-rays were 50% off today.
Oh, you should have
Barnes & Noble?
Yep.
through tomorrow, Father's Day.
Ooh, maybe I will go there then tomorrow and get it.
But anywho, basically it's a short 15, 20 second clip of a woodpecker pecking away, and then it pans across to the, you know, a far off shot of the forest, and you see a couple of gunshots, and then Fargo season 2. I mean, yeah, I'm still pumped. I mean, it didn't show you anything. It didn't do.
Did you see the cast?
No,
I didn't. You guys got me pumped up for this Valiant RPG now, you dummies.
Well, good. Maybe when and if you move and you can come out here more than once a month, maybe we can play.
I'm more pumped for the Fargo RPG.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Fargo RPG.
That would be so awesome. Based on the TV show.
All I'm going to say, Nick Offerman.
I get to be Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, here's the thing with that. If we did that, we'd all have to talk in our terrible, worst Minnesotan accents. And if you didn't, you're kicked out of the game for the day.
Nick Offerman will be on season 2 of Fargo.
Shut up.
He will be on season 2 of Fargo.
Like, big time on or like a cameo on?
Let's take a look at the list, because I believe they posted names of more than just Nick Offerman, which totally rules. He's already killing it on Axe Cop, and he killed it for 7 seasons on Parks and Rec. Now he's killing.
Although his stand-up special was very lackluster.
Well, if you read the book, there's no reason to watch the thing. Let's see, Patrick Wilson, who you might have remembered as Night Owl from Watchmen, will be playing the younger version of Keith Carradine's character, Lou Salverson. Ted Danson will be Hank Larson, Lou's father-in-law. Gene Smart, who you may remember from Designing Women, is going to be the matriarch.
What about Gene Simmons?
That'd be funny.
That'd be awesome. Bruce Campbell will be playing Ronald Reagan, which rules. Nick Offerman and Brad Garrett will also be on.
Doesn't say what, though?
No.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I like it. I don't know if it's going to beat out the cast of the first season, but it sounds pretty good.
You know, you always kind of go, oh, there's no way they're going to be as good as the first, and then they always end up surprising you. So if it's even one-third as amazing as season 1 was, I'm pretty sure it's going to be in my top 1 shows of 2015.
Dope. I agree. The only problem is, dun-dun-dun, I don't have cable. Gonna have to wait. Or maybe I'll buy it. Maybe I'll actually buy this. That does sound like something I'd want to see. But all right. So, I don't know if any of you cool cats are prepared for this, but coming up, well, if this is Monday, technically tomorrow, I believe, Batman Arkham Knight comes out on PS4.
Yeah, and I pre-ordered it last week, and look, I didn't have to put any money down. Oh, my God. What a
boom.
Epiphany.
Congratulations. I also pre-ordered it. So I will be able to play as Harley Quinn, and I will get the 1960s Batman costume, which I'm pretty pumped about.
Yeah, so will I. So what's your point?
My point is the Arkham Knight Collector's Edition that comes with all kinds of cool stuff has been canceled. So if you pre-ordered that, you are out of luck, and you will have to just either get your money back or get the regular version like the rest of us.
I never buy those things.
Why did they cancel it?
They didn't really give a reason.
Actually, they did. Apparently, there was a model Batmobile that came with it, and it said that there were problems with the production, and rather than have to refund people for, I guess, something. It says, a transforming replica of the Batmobile, but unfortunately quality concerns with the famous Bat car have forced Warner Brothers to reevaluate. Rather than drop the Batmobile and lower the price, the publisher decided to just cancel the thing altogether.
Well, they just redesign it and give everybody a new Bat car later on.
Do you realize 3 of the fucking awesomest games in the past 3 months have come out by Warner Brothers?
Somewhat, yeah.
Mortal Kombat, The Witcher, now
but I'm
Batman.
Looking at what they were giving away
plus,
here.
Plus, what was that other one that did real well? The Dying Light or something like that?
Oh, I didn't play that.
Well, I didn't play it, but apparently that did real well, too. Like, apparently Warner Brother Games has been pretty
taking
much
ass.
Killing it.
It says here that this was going to come with a transformable Batmobile statue, an art book, the skin pack, which had all the costumes, and a comic book for the game, and a steelbook case for the actual game itself.
I forgot that that thing. Dude, I'll,
they should I'm have just given out vouchers for people who had problems with their statue or something. That's pretty upsetting.
Yeah, yeah, they should actually give out life-size statues of the Red Hood.
That would be awesome.
With actual fucking working Magnum guns.
Yeah, for all the griping about Jason Todd as Robin, he comes back as one of the best Batman characters of the modern era, I'd say, as the Red Hood.
I'm just excited more to play as the Red Hood.
Yeah, Red Hood's pretty rad. I didn't pre-order the game, though, so, I mean, I didn't even know that collector's edition existed.
Actually, I did. I pre-ordered that, and I know it's like 6 months away, but I also pre-ordered that Star Wars game because it just looks like the cat's ass.
Battlefront?
Yup.
Yeah, IGN already reviewed Batman Arkham Knight. They got a 9.2, and they said, fucking cat's meow.
Into it.
You guys are basically really into felines today, I noticed.
Yeah, basically,
I like pussy.
Oh, good God.
Basically, I haven't, like, picked up anything or pre-ordered anything, because I'm playing the hell out of Mortal. And I'm also in the middle of playing Witcher 3. And I also want to play Elder Scrolls Online.
You are not alone there. Jeff is really looking forward. He might be looking to get that soon.
Yeah, I want to play that. But I know I need to finish Witcher 3 first. Because I don't want it to be where I start to play that, but then I start to play Elder Scrolls, and that falls to the wayside, and I never really finish it because I started something else. And you obviously know how involved an MMO is.
Couldn't tell you how many of those I started and not finished.
You know, so
what about BioShock Infinite?
You have you know, an MMO, which is a very involved game. Plus, I practice and Mortal a lot, so that takes up a lot of time too. So it's like,
and I can vouch for that. Yeah, Joe treats that like someone going to the gym.
Yeah, so it's a lot of things.
He
to
puts on
around
the sweatbands and everything.
Yeah, dude, I got like one
but
of those.
But I
kind of
do the same thing too. I sit there and just go into the practice, the practice training part, and just try and come up with weird combinations of combos.
Yeah, you just.
And for those of you listening, Chris just dove underwater. He'll return when he starts running out of breath, apparently.
What?
There he
just
is.
Got back to the surface.
Bloop.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of practicing, a lot of trying to figure out how to maximize damage from where you basically get in to the point where
trying to
you
see
finish
what
combos up your
combos will actually link up better than other ones.
You know, if you guys would like to do like a Mortal Roast show,
we might as well.
Yeah,
that would be great, because then I don't have to listen.
That's why I was trying to get Joe to play today. Cause
time to go to Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah,
pick me up an apple and spice and a glazed and
no.
A chocolate milk.
Done and done.
Chocolate milk.
Dude, chocolate milk is delicious.
I'm not gonna. Yeah, it's pretty.
It's
good.
Delicious.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
All right, so did anyone else have anything noteworthy, or should we move on to Over-Under?
Batman Arkham Knight is going to kick ass, and yes, I did pre-order it, just
dude,
like you did.
I pretty much agree. I'm pretty much can't wait for it. But
Red Hood. I'm not even going to go start the story. I'm just going to look for the part where I turn it on the game and it says, where can I play as the Red Hood?
Whatever, dude. I'm going straight to the fucking 60s Batman costume. I hope to God every time I punch somebody, it says bang across the screen. That would be hilarious.
It might. It just might.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't care what game I didn't finish or not. I'm still getting it because I'm not missing out on that Red Hood.
Oh, yeah. I've told everybody that I'm going to be taking a hiatus from a couple of games that I play currently to plow through some Batman this week. But alrighty. Moving on to Over-Under, like I had said, it's movie and or TV related.
And Brian, you can't play it until you finish Arkham City.
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool. You never finished Arkham City.
Hey, we're talking about you.
All right, go ahead.
Over-Under, movie or TV related comic books. We're going to let Brian go first because he picked it, and we're going to go under, no, overrated.
Overrated. TV related comic books. Oh, let me think. This could be a minute.
See, I picked Brian because he writes out the scripts, and I thought that maybe he would have had something.
Does it have to be a TV show, or can it be a movie, too?
No, yeah, movie's fine. Movie.
I have a movie in mind, too, and it's just not coming to me at the moment, though. I have my underrated pick.
Hey, so
I just got mine just now. And Joe better not pick it, or otherwise I'll stab him.
Oh, that's harsh.
I doubt we have the same pick.
Okay.
Does anybody have an overrated?
Overrated? Overrated is actually because I'm trying to find like series or movies that were actually turned into comics, and I'm coming up with like next to nothing. Like I was
Sons of Anarchy had one. There's all the Big Trouble Little China ones. There's the Bill and Ted. There's RoboCop. I mean, there's
Escape
a bunch
from New
of
York.
Them that they've turned into.
I got one.
Yeah, but like,
no, I don't. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm looking for overrated. And how do you
I
really
guess those
call
are all
something overrated if you're not familiar with it?
Exactly. I don't and read a lot. The ones I have
the
read.
The ones
I
know.
I
don't think they're overrated at all.
Could it be a video game too or no?
At this point, I'm going to go ahead and say yeah.
I'm going to say that Mortal Kombat then.
Screw overrated?
You. Yeah.
Or
is it?
I would agree.
It was just bad.
I will agree. I was just going to say that was not good at all.
Yeah, but outside of like Joe, has anybody else bought it? I mean, it's not like it's a fan favorite and everybody loves it. I mean, right?
I think there are people that like
it.
Are there a ton of people that like love it? Is it like some critically acclaimed comic book that I just don't know
about?
It was
originally a web comic that linked the 2, 9 and X together.
Okay.
So if you're not familiar with the storylines or you don't give a shit about the storylines, you're not going to like it.
Right. Well, and that's the thing.
That'd be like, you know, somebody picking up a... You know, I don't know shit about, you know, Nathan Drake or the, whatever the hell. What the
It's thing? Uncharted.
Yeah, the Uncharted.
You're the one that came up with his name earlier.
I know. I don't know about that.
Any one of those, you guys should be.
I don't know about the lore or the story of him. So, like, that stuff like that wouldn't mean shit
to me. Do you know anything about Indiana Jones?
Who?
Indiana Jones.
Who's that?
Shut up.
Fucking dork.
Yeah, I know Indiana Jones.
Then you pretty much know Nathan Drake.
No, because all I need to know is Indiana Jones. They need to get Indiana Jones and some shit like that.
See, here's my issue with...
Harold?
This overrated. I see them in the store all the time. I don't really pick many of them up, and the ones I do pick up, they're really not that impressed, but I don't think any of them are flying off the shelves to the point to where they can even be considered overrated.
I got, for overrated, the one I would go with would actually be, truthfully, the Simpsons comics.
Oh.
Pretty much all of them.
Okay.
I'll admit that the Radioactive Man trade collection interests me because Radioactive Man more exists as a comic book in the show, but you buy those Simpsons comics or get the free ones on Free Comic Book Day expecting that same level of like subtle and obvious humor kind of blended together, and those are not written very well. They're very not to sound corny, but they're flat.
Well, the way I look at those is the show, seeing as though it's always been a prime time show, they definitely try to keep it relevant to adults, and that's where a lot of the humor comes from. Whereas in the comics, there's no 40-year-old dude going buying Simpsons comics. It's for kids. I think that's why it probably falls to the wayside on that.
Mm.
Personally, but yeah, I mean, I can see where you're coming from. If you're a fan of the show, you're probably not going to like the comic books, you know?
Well, here's a good idea. How about the listeners, if they can come up with an overrated series, you know, let us know on Twitter.
That'd be great.
You know,
at The Comic Roast or at Pure Rock Fury or at Grampire or at X Orson X. Don't worry about Chris because he's too busy playing Witcher.
Nope.
Well, who else has an overrated?
I'll disagree with you. I'll be weak. Nailed it.
You know, I just want to throw out there that manga would count as well, considering that they have a tie into television.
I don't watch anime. Any anime.
Joe watched a lot
of
anime.
You know what I'm going to say, though? Yeah. I'm going to say Chuck Norris, Karate Commandos is underrated.
That's a... What?
I just looked it up, dude. Comics based off of television programs, and apparently this is one of them.
See, I was gonna say the Expendables miniseries, but that thing was given such bad scores when it came out. I don't think you can call it overrated. I think it was pretty much rated as is.
All right. Well, it seems like we really don't have much here on the overrated, so we'll move on to underrated. For me, this one did not take that long. I don't know if that Star Wars Kenan, The Last Padawan. Yeah. Technically, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, you're right. It is.
But, I mean, when you think of the Star Wars comic books, you probably think of the main one, or you think of the Darth Vader one, maybe even the Leia one, but nobody, I don't ever hear anyone talk about this, and it is by far, out of all the Star Wars ones I've read, it is the best one.
And they're making a fucking Lando one of all.
They're going to make an Ewok one at one point. Probably. They'll run out of ideas.
I don't think they will. I mean, I know, like, whatever, it's actually, it's a comic that's, you know, leading up to something that happened in, I think, on the cartoon series, maybe. It doesn't really reflect the original movies, but bottom line is it all came from the first movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, all the stuff spiraled because of the first movies. So that's why I'm going to throw that in there. That's my underrated. And like you said, Chris, you were reading it, so you know how good it is.
Which one?
The Last Padawan.
Yeah, it is actually good. It's better than fucking Star Wars.
Yeah. And I read the Vader one, too, and the Vader one's decent, but this one is way better.
Yeah. I like it more for the shiftiness.
Right?
And sleaziness and backstabbing.
I agree. Joseph, you got anything?
I'm actually going with the Serenity stuff.
Serenity now.
Oh, Joe, we are not going with the same one.
Yeah, the stuff that's related to the Firefly television show. I think that was really cool stuff. It was a great series, so, I mean, you know, the fact that it was being done by the same guy, you know, obviously not art, but story-wise, you know, it's good stuff. So.
Yeah.
Well, then I have two. I was leaving one out in the open because I thought someone might pick it, but no one did. My first pick is the Star Trek Planet of the Apes, The Primate Directive miniseries.
I haven't finished it yet.
That is a good one. Was so much better than I had anticipated. Actually, and I haven't read a ton, but all the Star Trek comic-related stuff I have read has been far better than I would have normally given it credit for, which I am going to keep going with more Star Trek stuff because I've liked all of it so far.
Oh, yeah, it's good stuff.
City on the Edge of Forever was really good, but that Planet of the Apes crossover sounds dumb, but it was really, really good.
Yeah.
You could tell the guys that wrote it and drew it are huge fans of both series. My other pick is Escape from the Living Dead. Resurrection. That many
surprised to hear you pick a zombie book.
I got that right when I started buying comics on a regular basis, but aside from the fact that it's tied to the Night of the Living Dead series of zombie movies, it's written by John Russo, the guy who wrote the script for Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead. So it fits perfectly into the old classic George Romero canon of zombie movies. It's the kind of zombie story I'd like to see, as opposed to, ooh, shopping mall of the dead, ooh, sidewalk sale of the dead, farmer's market of the dead. Give me a break with all... Zombie stuff is super tired at this point, but John Russo was, like, the guy who created the whole concept of cannibalistic undead, so he still knows what's up. And I had a chance to meet him in St. Louis, and I blew it, so there you go.
Yeah.
Way to go, me.
Nailed it.
But that series was on Avatar, so they also didn't hold back on the brutality. They pretty much went full bore with the gore.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, you got anything?
Yes, I do. I'm going with two as well, a movie and a TV show. I'm going with RoboCop by Josh Williamson. that one is not bad, actually. Especially the first one where the Joe knows, because I'm sure Joe has been keeping up with it. I haven't, though, but I read the first couple. And the dude that that snorted coke off his gun and then started blasting.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome. He snorts a line of coke off his gun and fucking goes and starts shooting.
Oh, dude, that is that picture. I got that picture. I sent that picture to so many people because I just thought that was the most amazing thing ever.
That kicks ass. And that comic is actually gritty, like the original movie, like the two pieces of poop that came out afterwards.
Oh yeah.
So, and
steady on the phone there.
Orphan Black.
Orphan
really?
Black,
the TV show?
Yeah.
I've heard good things about the show, and
I didn't even know they had a comic of it.
Yeah, IDW puts it out.
Nice.
I have a friend that I was going to buy the comic for, so I may buy that for her now when the trade comes out as a late birthday gift.
Good stuff.
Because she's into that show, so that's perfect late birthday gift / early Christmas gift. I'll have to see when it comes out now.
There you go.
All right. So that's going to bring in a wrap up to our over-under for the week, which just leaves us with the best thing evers for the week. And for me, a little background here. Many, many moons ago, we used to go over to Mike's house, and we played Risk all the fucking time. And, you know, he's the manipulative kind of Risk player where he'll just be like, oh no, you shouldn't do that. You should maybe do this, and then you can do it. You know, he's pretending that he's trying to help you, or really he's just trying to steer you in the direction he wants you to fucking go in so that he can dominate your face later. And it took me a couple of times playing to realize that's what he was doing. But I've never beat him. But he purchased Risk on PS4, and we played today twice, and I beat him both times back-to-back. And, yeah, I got to stuff that in his face. That was fucking the best thing ever. And I tweeted about it. Everybody should favorite it and retweet it because I tagged him, and he needs to know that everyone knows that he sucks at Risk now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes! Nailed nice. It.
Ouch.
Hallelujah.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's mine. I was going to pick something else, but I think I picked it last week, so that's good. Go.
Stud. Well, mine is that the Mortal Kombat hat that I had ordered came in, and it actually came in this morning.
And it's on your head.
Actually, it's on the table.
Well, it's on the table now. As soon as the headphones come off, it'll be back on my head.
Nailed it.
So, yeah!
Right?
Right. Can I have two, actually?
No.
No, you can't. We do two of everything half the time, so yeah, go nuts.
I got my order from Amazon yesterday of the new Royal Thunder and the new Ken Mode album, and I'll just go ahead and say right now, although I've only listened to the whole thing maybe twice, the new Ken Mode album is amazing. Imagine if Shellac played sludge metal. That's the only way I could describe it in one sentence.
That doesn't even compute in my brain.
It's so fucking good. So fucking good. Totally into it. Might end up being my album of 2015. Which is weird because I don't buy a lot of music anymore. But still, it's that good. But this is going to be a weird one. So strap in. Best thing ever for the week. Drum roll.
Airboy.
Mitt Romney. I'm not fucking kidding, actually.
What did he do now?
In the wake of what happened in Charleston, South Carolina in the last couple of days.
Right.
Mitt Romney stood up and said, "The Confederate flag is a symbol of hate. Take it down. Get rid of it." And I said, he just cost himself the president, the office of United States president for the rest of his life. But for a guy in his position, with the morons he surrounds himself with to say that, thumbs up.
Wow.
So Mitt Romney, best thing ever. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop using the word Romney to describe people that suck. But for today, Mitt Romney kind of rules.
So should we declare June 20th as Romney Day where you're actually nice about it?
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Nailed
at
it.
At least this one time.
All right.
It's probably the most intelligent thing I've ever heard him say.
Well, he doesn't.
He did say strap that dog to the roof. I mean, That nails it.
You know, I'd give him more points if it was a baby that he strapped to the roof.
Or cats. I mean, we all hate cats.
I did it
children.
When I
no,
saw.
I don't.
When I saw the post on the news today, I was like, I did a double take. I'm like, who's that? Mitt Romney said that. Wow, amazing.
Weird.
Like, next thing you know, Mitt Romney's going to come dressed up like Batman and show up at Free Comic Book Day. I'm like, wait a minute, this guy's actually cool. What happened?
48% of you won't buy any Batman today.
Are we on Earth 2 now? What's going on?
Oh, all right, so that's pretty decent. What about you?
Oh, The Witcher. Witcher's the best thing ever.
No way, dude. Fucking Hawks won the Stanley Cup.
Oh!
Nick.
Dude, how did nobody... Yeah, nobody even said
You know
that.
What's funny? I actually watched the last game, and when it was over, I was like, I got 30 minutes, now I can read.
Dude, I totally knew they won because everyone outside was banging on shit.
Yes, they were. Fireworks till 3 in the morning. That wasn't annoying.
Nice.
Dude, those are the fucking bandwagoners, dude.
Yeah, those true fans sit in the house quietly and sip our brandy.
Yes.
Or maple syrup.
Get it? Canadians? Hockey?
Here's the problem. I'm not going to say I have a problem, but... Yeah, there are so many bandwagon Blackhawk fans in this town
Dude,
now. It's brutal.
I could go up to anyone and probably say, I'll go up to them and go, Steve Larmer. They go, who? I'll be like, yeah, that's what I thought.
I can't deal with listening to people at work like hold court on the Blackhawks like they've been a fan for 40 years. It's like, you started watching hockey 2 summers ago. Quit acting like you're an expert. It's a super annoying. Oh, it's so brutal. I can't deal with it anymore. I'm so glad that baseball in this town still sucks, so we don't have to listen to sports for the next 2 months.
Yeah, it sounds like that pretty much won't change for
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, this is
a
fucking guy. Brian, how long? As long
no,
as
you've know, no, you've been a Hawks fan since the day I met you. So I'm.
Did any of them watch any of those years when it was like, was it Alexei Zhamnov and fucking Tyler Arneson and?
All I'm gonna say
is Mark Bell.
Fucking Doug Gilmore was on the Hawks.
Yeah, dude. Like
you and Jim Grimes were the only two people I know that watched the Hawks like back in the early 90s.
Still before they were on TV, this guy used to pay for the NHL package so that he could
I'm
watch
talking about like 92.
Oh.
I don't think
dude,
there was an NHL package
right now. Because of my dad and my uncles.
No, I definitely
watching it
I
on
definitely
TV.
Didn't get into
oh my God, on
NHL
TV.
Until like
no, they used to play the Hawk games like, on like on TV or remember the other cable thing was Spectrum or whatever.
Yep.
But, wow.
Yeah, because you couldn't, you know, you had to watch on cable, and you couldn't even get the fucking you couldn't see the Hawks games at that point in unless they those few sporadic ones they'd put on TV. But you know, I used to watch a lot of like out of market games because you couldn't even see the fucking team that was in your own town at that point.
Yeah. They really.
I was able.
They made
to,
a good call when they started putting them on TV here.
I was able know. To follow the Colorado Avalanche better than I was the team in my own town.
Yeah, well, because the old man had the whole attitude like, if you want to watch, you come to the stadium.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, not everyone that can fucking make it.
No one wants to come to the stadium to watch them lose.
Yeah. Right.
Oh yeah.
Well, back then that was Murray Bannerman, and you couldn't touch the Oilers in '84.
All right, well, let me touch to the end of this, and then you guys can ramble hockey when we're done. So that concludes our show for this evening. As usual, you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. You can find Joe at Grampire. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Theory. And you can find Chris at SkateXEdge. You can find the show at The Comic Roast, or you can listen to all of our shows, past, present, and future, at comicroast.com. From there, we have links to our Stitcher, our iTunes, and our Musings of a Geek page. So go nuts on all of those if you want to automate the process for yourself.
Blowing that on them.
All right. Other than that, don't forget to head over to Review and Roast. That's at .com. That's at Twitter. That's at Instagram and at Facebook. Like the pages. Follow the pages. Make an account. Review some stuff. Do some things. And we'll see you next week.
Hump some chicks.
Mm-hmm.
You are now leading the world of Musings of a Geek Podcast Network. Stay geeky, my friends.